You are no longer muted.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6 o'clock on Monday, November 16th, 2020, and this is the regular Town of Curie Beach Town Council meeting. We'll have an invocation from Commissioner Ellen, and then, Commissioner, if you would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this hour asking for your blessing and help as we are gathered together. We pray for guidance in the matters at hand and ask that you would clearly show us how to conduct our work with a spirit of joy and enthusiasm. Give us the desire to find ways to excel in our work. Help us to work together and encourage each other in that excellence. We ask that we would challenge each other to reach higher and farther, to be the best that we can be for the citizens of Curie Beach. Amen.
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 Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, gentlemen, we have the approval of the consent agenda items. Are there any suggested changes to these items?
Make a motion we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Consent agenda approved. Adoption of the agenda. If you would look through the agenda, gentlemen, and let me know if you have any changes, additions, deletions.
So I would like to add, I guess it's 13.2.
Okay.
Well, actually, I guess it would be 14 and adjournment would go to 15. So 14, a discussion of the, what are the lines called?
Development line.
Development line, thank you, sir. A discussion of the development line following the closed session.
Okay.
And we may not need it, but just in case we do.
Okay. 14, discussion of development lines after closed session. Anything else to change, gentlemen?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we adopt the agenda with the one change.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, agenda is so altered and approved. Any public comments sent in? Mandy, nothing? Okay, Beth, nothing? All right.
You may want to open it to the callers.
If you'd like to make a public comment in 3 minutes, please press star 6 to get off of mute.
How many folks are on the line, Mandy?
5.
Okay, let's move along. So we'll move on to presentations, and the first is Bernard Robinson and Company, Mr. Blackburn, presenting the 2019-2020 audit. Welcome, Mr. Blackburn.
Thank you. Glad to be here today. Arlen has a presentation that we'll go over. As you can see over my shoulder, the first slide. The first slide we'll talk about is the total net position of the town of Curie Beach, and you can see between 2018 and 2020, it's been going up every year. The burgundy lines are the governmental activities, and the blue line is the proprietary fund or the business type activities, and you can see both of them have been going up gradually over a 3-year period. Starting off with a little over $15 million in 2018, and it's a little over $17 million in 2020. The important part of having this slide here is the total net position of the town. it really demonstrates how financially sound the town is, because, you know, the larger this amount is, that means that your total assets of the town is greater than the total liabilities of the town. So we'll go to the next one. This is a,
could I ask you one question on that? And this is just for my personal knowledge. When we look at the assets from one year to the next, do we hold the assets constant, or do we actually upgrade the assets based on some formula?
The assets are really is the accumulation of various activities of the town. So it's basically the revenue sources coming into the town, less the revenue sources going out. And it either can, you know, if you bring in more money than you come out, it's going to stay in cash or investments or things like this that the town's put in. Or you can actually spend it on capital assets, which are, which is, you know, the physical property that the town owns. And so basically it's really a combination of the activities of the revenues over expenditures year to year, and you expect those to increase from year to year.
Okay, so thank you. So my question is really on capital assets. Do we just hold them at tax value, or do we increase the value in this?
The capital assets normally would increase for certain expenditures. So if you go out and buy a new fire truck, you add that to the capital assets of the town.
Okay, I understand what you're saying now. Yeah, I got it. Okay, I was thinking of like Oceanfront Park. If it was $500,000, is it $500,000 every year?
Well, certain assets such as land, it stays whatever you acquired.
Whatever we bought it at.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That stays,
thank
but
you.
Certain assets like the building here that you normally would have to replace sometime down the road would get depreciated, and the values would go down each year until it's basically fully depreciated. And by that time, it's only when you think that you would need to replace that particular asset.
Thank you. You answered my question. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I'll try not to deter you anymore.
That's fine. That's what I'm here for. The next one is the governmental activity net position. What I want to point out to you in 2018 is the green line is what you call unrestricted. And the important part of the unrestricted amount of the net position for the governmental fund, as you know, that this is the amount that's available for the town to appropriate as part of their budget process. So if for some reason you expect to make an unusual expenditure that you don't have revenue sources coming in for that year to cover, so therefore your expenditures are higher than you project the revenues coming in, you have to have a balanced budget. So therefore, in order to balance that budget, you would use your unappropriated fund balance, which is the green part. The burgundy part is those assets that are restricted, and those can be restricted normally by state statutes or loan documents and things like that. And then the blue column is your capital assets for the governmental activity. Now, if you can see in 2018, you had a large burgundy restricted component and a smaller blue component of capital assets. And then you see in 2019 that flipped. Well, what it was in 2018, part of that restricted net assets were related to the bond funds that you acquired to build like the fire department and renovate the town. So you can see that, you know, you finished that construction in 2019, so that amount moved from the restricted component down to the capital asset component of the net position, and you can see that that's what the big flip was during the year. But the important thing here is that green component, as you can see, that it's been increasing over the last 3 years. And again, that is the important part, is that that's the money that you can use as part of your budget appropriations. Now this is the business type activities. And again, you can think about the capital assets of the business type activities, because it's very capital labor intensive with the services you provided. So that's a larger component of it for the 3 year period. And again, the green component is the unrestricted component. And just like the governmental activities, it has increased over 3 years, gradually increased over 3 years, which is, you know, a positive trend. And this is kind of the breakdown of what we talk about earlier of the fund balance component. Now, the difference between net position and fund balance is especially in the governmental activities. The governmental activities is what's called modified cash. And that's basically just your true cash positions, your investments, as well as your liabilities. It doesn't take any factors of your debt or the capital assets of the organizations. And there's a process that we have to go through to go from the modified cash to what is called full accrual. And that's GASB 34 conversions. And that GASB 34 conversion, when we add the capital assets and the related debts and things, especially like your pension funds, your deferred inflows and outflows, that's when the fund balance component transfers to that position because it adds a few things. But again, what I want to point out to you, even though the fund balance is going down from like $7.3 million to a little bit over $5 million in 2020, the blue component of it is, again, your unassigned, and you can see that has increased over the three-year period. The purple component was that restricted capital project money that we borrowed and we had mm-hmm. to set aside. And you can, as we talked about earlier, that was used up in the 2019 period and went away. And that's why that purple component basically goes away over the two-year period. But again, the blue component, you can see that has increased over the three-year periods, which is, that's what you want to focus on. Now this is a snapshot picture of the governmental fund. And I'll be honest with you, when I was reviewing the audit work papers this year and reviewing the financial statements, this kind of surprised me here. Because of COVID-19 hitting in your tourist area, I would have thought that you would have had a loss for you. That's what I expected coming in, because I know the beaches were shut down, the restaurants and all this activity was being shut down the last quarter of the year. And I know how important it is for especially the beaches, municipalities throughout North Carolina, how important that tourist dollar is. But when I saw this, I see that your actual revenues were higher than what you budgeted for the year, about $213,000 over. And I think some of that is COVID-19 money that you received, but you also had you had a better year than what you were projecting. You did project, as we talked about earlier, you did project a loss where your expenditures were higher than you budgeted revenue, and you needed to have appropriate fund balance to balance the budget. But because of COVID-19 hitting, you were able to control some of your expenditures too. And even though your revenues went up, you were able to save about $460,000 in expenditures, less than what you projected that you were going to spend in 2020. And you can see your actual results was a 386 positive revenue over expenditures. But if you look at the variance component, that's about a $680,000 swing from what you were projecting to do for the year. And then it came down to a little over $500,000 positive change to the fund balance for the governmental activity, the governmental funds for the year.
Good.
And I'll be honest with you, the municipalities, you're the only municipality that I have audited this year that actually had a positive fund balance change. Most of them were pretty close to zero or a loss.
Yeah, just before you continue, Arlen, great job. Please pass on to the department heads, because the reduction in the budget versus actual was all the department heads doing a lot of work as we recognize what we're going into. So that's every department head that contributed to that, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. As soon as the COVID-19,
we did
a lot of things to try to contain costs. So.
And y'all did a great job, so please pass it on to all the department heads if they're not in here hearing it, because they did a great job.
And keep it up.
Yeah.
Can't promise that ever.
Yeah.
Arlen needs new software. He needs to keep it up.
That's exactly right. I think we'll address that in December.
That is, I think this is the last slide. This is a snapshot of your water and sewer fund for the year. And, you know, again, you have positive results here where your operating revenues were about $2.2 million, less your operating expenses, almost $1.9 million, to come up to a little over $300,000 in operating income. You did have some, the non-operating expenses, I think, are some, is primarily the interest expense that you pay on the debt for the capital assets of the water and sewer fund. But again, you still had a, you know, a little less than $300,000 positive change to the water and sewer fund net position for the year.
And so for council on that one, that's really what we've been talking about for the last 4 years with our rates a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And while it shows we have a big position, that position includes capital assets, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so when you look at the actual cash that's there, we have some pretty big future expenditures coming up in the next few years in water and sewer with sewer replacements that we're going to talk about in our five-year plan in January. So great job again, but Arlen will tell you water and sewer is still going to be a stressful place.
We'll talk about that more in the upcoming budget process.
Yep, exactly right.
But I mean, each year we get some good advice from you. So, and the people may not know this, and hardly anybody will read it, but this is very good for the people in this town.
Just overall, you have a copy of the financial statement.
Yep.
Our audit opinion for the year was considered an unmodified opinion. That is the cleanest opinion that
right.
the municipality can receive, and that's the same type of opinion you've received as long as we work with you. Talk about the internal controls. We're required, our professional standards require us to communicate to you if there were any issues with the internal controls that were deemed to be a significant deficiency or material weakness. Both in the design or the operations of those controls. The lack of a letter in your package tonight lets you know that nothing came to our attention in the way the controls are designed here in the town or the way they were operated during the audit period. So, you know, good, you have appropriate checks and balances. And we didn't have any audit adjustments or anything like that. So the numbers that you're looking at throughout the year are fairly similar to what they are at year end. So that should give you some comfort that, you know, nothing unusual will pop up at the end of the year when the actual audit comes around.
Okay. I did see the opinion on page 2 of your letter. And even just as important to me was the last page of the report, telling us how you felt about the cooperation received.
Yeah.
So that, well, good report, and job well done by the department heads and the finance team. Very good. Did you have anything else you wanted to share with us?
No, there's no questions. I'll let you get back to your work, and if a question does arise, Arlen knows how to get a hold of me. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming out.
Thanks for coming out to do this too.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Nice job, Ron.
Well, we've had a lot of positive reports over the year, and our financial position is improving, and that's good news for the town. Even though people were worried about that. We built new things for the town, and we are still being able to grow the discretionary available dollars. Okay, let me get back to business. Instead of just beaming here in the performance of the department heads. We have a committee business now. And in committee business, we'll start with the Bike Pedestrian Advisory Committee. I believe Mo is here for a presentation. Good evening, Mo.
Good evening. And this is Mike Hopper, who's the chair for the Carolina Beach Bike Ped Committee.
Well, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, the Bike Ped Committee, being committed to creating safe and friendly routes for people walking, people on bikes, babies in strollers, families towing beach paraphernalia, and recently we attended the Bike Walk NC seminar. It was a 2-day virtual event, and Nikki and Sean from the Parks and Rec also attended. And it made us even more aware of sight impaired, hearing impaired, wheelchair bound travelers, and how important that is for our town to get on board to be an inclusive town for all travelers. So tonight, I want to just bring it to the forefront as we recognize that biking and walking are significant and beneficial modes of active, equitable transportation. Number one, it's recreation. It's like a gym and it's free. And it's a community center if you're 6 feet apart, at least, maybe, and out there at this point of time. It's tourism, it's good for local business, and biking and walking encourages environmental stewardship, it embraces innovation and being environmentally and socially responsible. And now, because of COVID, trail use and outdoor activities have considerably increased, and no doubt giving health and emotional benefits. So at our last meeting, we had two presentations, and the first presentation was Sarah Sanford from the East Coast Greenway. And I'm hoping that you do, you are familiar with the fact that the East Coast Greenway runs from Maine to Key West, Florida, and it comes right through Curie Beach. Now, there is a separate coastal spine that goes around the route, but when it comes together in Wilmington, it comes down through Wilmington, through Carolina Beach, through Curie Beach, hooks onto the South Fork Ferry, and goes further to Florida. And so many people use this route for, again, recreation. I met a lady on Friday who had done the whole route, and it took her 10 years, but she biked all the way from Maine to Florida. So this is the map that kind of shows it coming down through Wilmington, and then that picture was taken by Commissioner Oliver, by Jack Mackerels, that has the little sign that says East Coast Greenway, and then you see how it runs through Curie Beach, where it comes, the Island Greenway comes out at Alabama. The East Coast Greenway goes down Alabama to Fort Fisher, and then on down to the ferry. So, on our island, we do have a system called the Island Greenway System. And our second presentation for our committee this month was by Mike Hoffer, who was just giving us some information and updating us on the Island Greenway. And Mike, would you like to explain to them?
Gladly. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Like, you know, any great bike and pedestrian friendly city in America has a system of street routes that are recommended for bikes and pedestrians. And that's what we've done up in Carolina Beach. So we have a lot of great greenways, which are areas that don't have car traffic at all. The Island Greenway is the most famous, but there's the Snow's Cut Trail and State Park Trail and the Carolina Beach Lake. There's a lot of great destinations that you can go and ride a bike or walk or push a stroller and not interact with cars at all. what we've done, the Island Greenway system, is to connect those with what we consider the safest, most attractive routes on the streets, and creating what's often termed as bicycle boulevards, which is, those are streets that we're sharing with the bikes, we're sharing with walkers. We're going to do whatever we can to make these routes just a little more advantageous for the bikes and the walkers. And it has been a pretty strong volunteer effort to mark these routes and such. And what the routes do is, in many ways, it's an educational tool and a resource for the visitors. So if you're coming to town, or even if you are here and you don't even realize, there are nicer, more interesting, and safer ways to get around the island. It might be all about recreation, or it might just be good old-fashioned transportation, trying to get from your neighborhood to the school with your child. What's the safest route? So that's what we've created in Carolina Beach. It's a nice volunteer effort. It was very low cost to the town of Carolina Beach. And what I'm here, or why I came to the last meeting, is we would like to ask Carrie Beach to join the fun with us. So what we've got here is a sample of what your part of the map could look like. And of course, it's your town, it's your decision. I only put something pretty together so you can see what your options are. It's very inexpensive to be a part of this. Carolina Beach had to make a little larger investment than Curry Beach would have to, because in Carolina Beach we needed to mark all the destinations, and we've got a bigger system of streets that we're using. But if Curry Beach joined the fund, street markings would cost about $1,500. And that I can assure you is an accurate cost, because I priced it all out or arranged everything for Carolina Beach. It does not need any staff time to be done. It can be done by all volunteers. Some of the other options are just options, really. We in Carolina Beach made a nice kiosk that's lays out what the system is, tells people about the local bike and pedestrian laws, and it has a bike repair station as part of it. You know, that thing costs a couple thousand bucks, but it's not necessary to be a part of this. We also have some more basic kiosk signages and stuff that cost a couple $100. I know here at Curry Beach, for instance, you've got a nice kiosk up there at the Oceanfront Park, mm-hmm. So you can put some of this information in there, and so it really wouldn't cost anything. And as you can see, the initiation fee is zero, the annual membership dues are zero. It's a no-cost thing. It's just a good way to bind together with Carolina Beach, make the island just a little bit smaller, a little bit safer. We'd sure love to have you be part of it. That's all.
Can we go back and look at that map again through Curry Beach? So you can see the way the Island Greenway stops at Alabama. And now that we have the spot lane connector planned to be paved for next year, at this point we could direct the travelers to come down Alabama to Mackerel, over Mackerel to Settlers Lane, head them down Settlers Lane, then they would cross K at 6th, and then take 6th over, take 5th over, and while they're on 5th, you know, the west side of 5th is all trees. And I'm not kidding you, I bet it's, yeah, on a hot day, I bet it's 10 degrees lower on 5th by those trees than what it is downtown Curry Beach on Fort Fisher. And I just noticed that with a walk audit that Gardner and I did. But then when it comes out 5th to E, comes down to Fort Fisher, then as you head south, there's no parking on the streets, and there's a dedicated bike lane. So it's an extremely safer route to go that way. And then also this other alternative route that you see that utilizes our boardwalk. So that's an interesting way for people to go.
Well, now, except it's one way. So if you direct people down there, they'll go the wrong way down Atlantic Avenue, because that's what they do now. And bikes are supposed to follow the traffic rules. So it's not interesting if you start directing people the wrong way down the street.
Well, could they be directed to do the loop?
They could. I'm just saying that if we're going to do that, we're not going to have a sign that directs people to go the wrong way down the street.
Absolutely. Okay. And that's why information like this that they put together with the map and also with some information, rules and staying safe. And once COVID is over, I really see us doing some education and marketing information for our residents, for our tourists, having to do with bicycle laws. During the Bike Walk NC, I went to one of the seminars that was driver-friendly, bicycle-friendly drivers. And just, I learned things like the Dutch reach, which you don't think about. If you're in a parked car on the street and you open up your door, what if a bicycle is like coming right up that lane? You could hit them. I mean, there's so many things like that. And those are the things that I'm anxious about, getting that education out to our community. So I guess what we're asking you is Kerry Beach interested in joining the fun, becoming part of the Island Greenway system, Kerry Beach, connecting it with the East Coast Greenway? Because I believe that they would be interested in this safer route also. And there we are.
It, from my perspective, it is, it's interesting, it's inexpensive. I think what we would need to do is have some time to think it through, discuss it, and probably have a deeper, in-depth discussion at the next council meeting on this point. But in particular, I think it's well thought out.
So other than directional signs, is there any modifications to the roads considered at all in this? Are you asking for markings down the roads or something like that, or is this just signs and maps? Because I didn't pick that up in your presentation.
What we have in Carolina Beach right now is only signs, maps that are available, and street markings on existing stop signs and such. We're working toward a place where we do some sharrows and some street markings, but we're not there yet.
Okay. So you don't put a stripe down calling it bike lane? Well, you guys are pretty much not on the street. That's something we'd have to think about, I guess.
I mean,
it's not absolutely necessary to make it go, but kind of like when you're hiking in the state park, and every once in a while there's a trail marker to kind of remind you that you're on the right route. That's the approach we're taking with this. Okay. So if at a specific intersection we felt the need for some sharrows or street markings, we're open to it. But as of right now, there's nothing on the streets.
Yeah, they have a lot of roads that are not Greenway. They do share with cars. If you look at their map,
Mr. Mayor,
that's what I was asking.
If I can, I think this will help us out getting people off the recreational bicyclists, off the busy part of town where we have a lot of on-street parking. Mm-hmm. And it also give people who don't know their way around an opportunity to do a more family-friendly route, even to go to and from. And if somebody wants to go to the aquarium or to the museum, or even if some of our folks want to go, they're staying here at Crewe Beach, they'd like to go to the state park, it would be an easy way for them to find a safe route to the state park. So, and the money in the budget this year, we have the money already budgeted for. We saved a lot by the conference being virtual, and we also had money in the budget for some signage and brochures already.
I don't have a problem with any of that. And like I said, I know the team has worked very hard. They've walked this. They understand it. The only point that I would make here is that this is the first time that some of the commissioners have seen it. I think they need to digest it, understand it. Personally, I'm highly favorable towards this. I mean, I'm going to think it through. But I think we need to give the guys a chance to look at it, understand it.
Well, if I can, why don't, if you have questions, just email the questions to Mo, and we'll be glad to discuss it in our next committee meeting, and then be ready for answering those questions at the next commission meeting.
You find me that, Mo?
I want to go on record that I support what you folks are doing, particularly the safety part. You know, I get about 2,000 miles a year on this beach up and down, and the biggest deal I see is up in Carolina Beach where they're parked at a slant, and if I'm going behind, people just back right out without looking. Or if I'm beside cars in traffic, they cut in front of you. They can even know you're there. They'll come behind you and then cut right in front of you. And I've hit several doors by running into the cars cutting in front of me. So I'm a big proponent in your education part. I would like to back up to the Carolina Beach map. I don't know why you got all this blue here, and I support it, and I've probably written all of it. But we also, right up here, down to the marina in the state park, we ride a light, come up through, go under the bridge, and then when we get to the state park entrance, we go down. These things are a rec center or scenic spot, and you've got one right down at the very end, and there's two places to park, and there are people that drive down in there, park, get on their bike, and start there. So I would recommend that the Carolina Beach map add blue going down into the state park.
I like that idea too. We've talked to the state park superintendent about just not there yet.
We're still. Yeah, I mean, they don't have to commit to being part of the greenway. It's just, well, it's just part of the scenic route, and that's what
they have to commit to. You marketing and advertising to bike on their property. That's like putting the Air Force Base on ours. They got to commit to that. Because you're telling people, I'm sure they're open, but that's different than advertising ride all your bikes down here. That's the issue, right?
And that's why it doesn't.
That's right, yeah.
The main crux of this really is to make sure people are aware of the alternate routes, you know, the better ways to get from place to place. I often think of, if I take my daughter for a ride, I live in Carolina Beach, of course, and we take a ride to, you know, we'll ride down to the Curry Beach Pier and get an ice cream. We know the better way, the safer way to get there. But I'm not sure everybody does. Or if you're vacationing in Curry Beach and you want to go to the boardwalk for a concert, or you live in Curry Beach and you want to ride your bike to school, we just want to make sure people really are aware of these safer alternatives. And that also the vehicles around are aware that these are bike routes. So I think that establishes something as well.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely correct in that point. And people are going to ride their bikes through town no matter what we do. It'd be better if we had them in a safer area, honestly. Because riding down Fort Fisher with parked car, I mean, I do it myself to get the newspaper sometimes, but it doesn't feel safe.
So you can't make people ride a certain way, but you want to at least make sure they're aware.
Sure.
Yeah, so just for council, would you guys consider a public hearing on this? I'm okay either way, actually. I mean, I'm very supportive of sort of directing people. I think it's interesting that there's a couple of ways you can go, and being on East Street, they're all going to end up at my street, so I don't really care, honestly. The bikes are fine, but I know some of these people are like, well, you know, you go through 7 stop signs if you go 6th to 5th like you did.
Right.
If you go a street or two over, you drop 3 stop signs off. Bikers hate stop signs. So I'm not saying it's a bad route or a good route. I'm just saying that was interesting when I was looking at it, right? And and I know the citizens would be like, well, why'd you pick my street?
That's the way forward. Like, why are all these people coming down to my
street? Yeah, like Settlers Lane, you know, you come Mackerel and then you could cut down, it's Anchor Way or whatever it is. I don't even remember the road right now. Ed's frowning at me because I'm supposed to know the road. But, I mean, I think this is a good idea, telling people not to ride down Fort Fisher Boulevard, because we had an accident this weekend that was exactly what you talked about, a car pulling in front of a bunch of bikers and then turning right. He got carried to the emergency room south of Fort Fisher, so he'd already been back on Fort Fisher with this plan even. But, I mean, you know, I would say without looking at the data that all of our bike accidents have been on Fort Fisher Boulevard. Would you agree, Ed? I see the chief in the back. That all of our biking accidents that we've had calls to were on Fort Fisher Boulevard as far as...
Yeah, most of them on the south side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But isn't 90% of the bikers?
I know. Yeah. You're right. That's how it works. But, I mean, just the interactions are different, right?
Well, and the thing you mentioned, David, is precisely why I'm thinking. We just need to think about it a little bit. You could go down Settlers. You could go down...
I'm on the corner. They always end at East, so I don't care.
There's a couple. I mean, when you come out on... There's a couple options. You know, when you come out on...
I think maybe it might be better if you said there's these 4 routes that we recommend. They're all on the south side instead of picking one.
But we have to mark them.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a few more signs, and then people can pick, right? That way all the bikes don't go by Settlers Lane houses or whatever, right? I mean, Caroline Beach does that.
Let's recognize the fact that having a bike path recognized close to your home actually does increase your property value. Yes,
okay.
AARP.
Okay.
Is that like a
I
bike
think
path
that's an actual bike path, not a bike sign path in the street.
Bicycle-friendly communities.
Okay. That's a fair point. But as we look at, and you think about stop signs, things like that, there might be something we could, I don't know, maybe we'll send you something, Mo. Just say, look at that and tell us what else
I think what I'm proposing, if you go back to Carolina Beach's map, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. There's 4 feeder roads that go north to south. So I'm just saying that if we're going to do it in Tree Beach, do the same thing they did in Carolina Beach and have multiple, you know, maybe it's 5th and 4th or whatever, right? So I'm definitely not opposed at all. I think routing people off Fort Fisher is safe for everyone. And you're right, the people that don't know, don't know. They just blindly go down Fort Fisher. But I just think that map shows exactly what I'm talking about. There's 4 routes identified to get to the front road from the back, right? And you can do the same thing through Curie, north to south. And then, okay, there's a sign by my house, but there's a sign a block over, so I'm not getting every bike rider that doesn't know what that's lost in Curie Beach, right? That's all I'm saying. But I'm supportive. I just think citizen input might be a good idea. And I'm okay either way, whatever council wants to do.
I appreciate that feedback. The one place I would want to make sure we're... let me see if I get back to the Curie Beach now. There we are. That we really have only one crossing on K, though.
Right.
Because that's going to be the most dangerous crossing.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if I agree with you, but okay. Why only one crossing?
Well, you got two.
We got 4, 5th, and 6th, the 7th.
I mean, you can't do it at 3rd because it's actually, there's not a crossing. So you can only do it at 4th, 5th.
6th, and 7th.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to go to 7th, I guess, unless you came through Town Hall. So it'd be 4th, 5th, or 6th. Okay. I think that's why public input is good for that issue. I don't know that I agree with your one crossing mantra, but okay, maybe there's a great reason for it. I don't know what it is, but okay. I'm sure that you've got a good reason why you have one.
I tend to support this. It's within town limits. I do tend to get a little ducking for cover when someone from Carolina Beach says one island, because then I know they would ask us to pop our checkbook out.
Yeah, ignore that part.
But I do support it, yeah.
So I think what you have, Mo, is a supportive crew. We'd like to think through maybe the routing and things like that, and we'll give you a response next meeting.
Fantastic.
Does that work?
I appreciate that.
Gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
That work for you, Al?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
So thank you for the great work on this, and we are very close.
Just so we're clear on our side, excuse me, are you asking them to bring back additional rates, or are you going to give them rates?
We'll think through it. We will communicate with Mo over email, tell her what our thoughts may be. She'll take a look at it. Next meeting, she can come back and say, I looked at what you guys have offered. I looked at what your opinions are, and this is what we think the true outcome should be.
Okay.
And then we can go with it. At least it gives people a chance to think about it, air thoughts to Mo and her team, give them a chance to look at them, and then we can take an action.
Maybe we can send out an email blast. If they have, our meeting is December 7th, 3 o'clock. If we can have any comment from everybody, citizens or other commissioners, that we have it by the 3rd, December 7th, so we can discuss it at our next meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you,
so
Mom.
Much.
And thank you for coming and joining.
I appreciate it here.
Thank you for coming to the bright side. Okay, community center. Well, the community center is not meeting, and they are not going to meet, I guess, until January. Historical Prevention Commission?
Not prevention.
Preservation.
Oh, we're trying to prevent some stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Nice. Let's prevent history.
We thought that was a slip of the tongue. Record to reflect that.
The Historical Preservation Committee did not meet this month because we had to get backed up because of Election Day. Same thing with the PNZ.
Okay. Okay. That was very good by the counselor. It cracked me up. The land use plan?
We did meet. We're kind of ties into P&Z. P&Z is going to look at the land use plan, the existing land use plan, to give us their feedback on it, which then we will incorporate. In our last meeting, though, we did cover having Council of Government come down here to our December meeting and give us a detailed look at what they will provide for us if we work with them to have them rewrite the vast majority of the land use plan. But we will also continue to work on all the ordinance changes in the past 12 years, lighting, the HPC, anything else that we've done. So the business district up 7th Avenue, the overlay, and so we can get all that updated and have that prepared for them to incorporate into the new land use plan.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear what they would offer, because I would tell you that I am happy with this council. We have plans for a variety of things. We have plans for drainage. We have plans for downtown. We have plans for zoning plans for what we're going to do without contiguous space, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we're ready if we can get it into the right format. Mm-hmm. So, and all that's a lot of good work, a lot of good work by individual commissioners on their certain assignments. Okay. Marketing committee. John, anything on marketing?
We have still not met as a committee, and I haven't talked to Ms. Elliott this week, that she may be on the line, but I don't have anything.
Okay. It'll be interesting when we get kick-started back into things. Parking committee. Parking committee has been meeting. We have received 6 proposals. Some very interesting proposals, which the parking committee, now that we've added 2 new folks this evening, we will communicate with them and let them know that they are part of the committee. Our next meeting is on the 30th. We will prepare ourselves for a recommendation to council on January meeting. Now, if we can, we will attempt possibly December, but I think tonight we're going to move December meeting forward, which is going to give us a very short window. But we need not to be longer than January, or we're going to miss a window if council decides to do it. So that's the plan. And we'll put feedback out to council on some of these reviews. We have a meeting tomorrow with one of the companies, and we'll get some more information on their proposal. And we'll probably pick one or two others to meet with and make sure our questions are answered. Planning and zoning, you talked about, Joe. Shoreline access. I don't know if Dennis is on. Mr. Panicali, you on?
If he's not, I'll give a quick update.
Go ahead.
All right. Planning and zoning is, they have walked the full beach, looked at all the access points, beach access points. We're going to come up with kind of a standard what signs should be at each beach access on the beach before, and then any changes before the beach access. They're going to catalog that with an Excel spreadsheet, and that'll become kind of a working document going forward. Every year they'll walk the beach, inventory the signs, anything that needs to be repaired, replaced, something that's disappeared and down at the rocks by the riggings probably. Maybe we should go down there and look for some of them. But that would just, and also Alan brought up the idea of having them look at the accesses themselves. Some of them are showing some signs of wear and tear, leaning posts. So we'll incorporate all that, and that'll always be accessible. And we'll catalog and inventory at the end of the season, and again in the spring, if we have any bad storms in the fall.
Well, that'll be a good document for budget purposes as well.
Yes.
All right. Good. Stormwater committee?
So we did not meet in October. We'll be meeting in November next Monday night. We're waiting on the state to return our proposal for the audit issues from last December. We don't know when we'll get that. Once we get that, in the probably January, February timeframe, there will be some ordinance changes to support that. Assume we don't want to do that before the state tells us it's okay, so that's what we're waiting on right now.
All right. Okay, moving on to department head business, administration. Anything, Mandy?
Give me a talk about all the assignments.
About what?
Yes.
So we have been working with LDSI on a grant called the BRIC grants, the 2020 grants due in end of December is when the application is due. And we were invited to apply once we submitted our letter of intent. So they are asking us to apply for the full grant, but we are working with LDSI, and I've sent LDSI a message and let them know all of this, but they need some additional information before they can really give us a cost estimate of what they're going to charge us to work with us on this grant. So I'm going to need some money, I guess, to move forward as far as them consulting with us and helping us write the grant or apply for it. I don't know how much. I don't know what to even estimate for that. But so I was thinking of getting some more information from them and getting a consensus from you guys a little further down the road.
So we're worried, although if we move the December meeting may not be a problem, but we were worried that they need the time to actually do whatever is required. So they worked with us for the letter of intent. We did not think we were going to be invited to continue, even though it's for the beach outfalls.
Yeah.
So that's what we're applying for.
Right.
It did not fit with out here because we didn't have written permission from Matsu to work behind Settlers Lane, which we'll talk about. But so we would like to continue moving forward, but we need to see, one, how likely it is, and two, how much they want to support the submission for the grant.
So they want to write the grant?
They would work with us to write it. And we asked them for a proposal on how much that is. I don't think it'll be huge amounts of money, but we don't know, right? So that's what we wanted to make sure. Because we're not sure, they were not sure how much work it was, so they're still investigating that, and that's where we are right now. And so okay. I asked Mandy to bring it up because we'd kind of like council's thoughts on where we are, so that if we do get a quote and there's a lot of work, we can poll council for the funding. I know the attorney would tell me we can't spend more than $50,000 without bidding it. I don't think it'll be anything like that for the grant submission. I think it'll be much less than that, honestly. But
I think 30 is the lowest.
30. I knew there was a number. I couldn't remember what it was. But I don't think we'll approach that number. And if we did, I don't know that I'd recommend council for us to pursue.
Is this an 80-20 grant? Or what is it?
It is. I believe it is an 80-20 grant, but we have some other people that would want to join us if we're successful.
Yeah.
So we have other funding sources that we believe would come on board if the federal government was putting 80% out. Okay. That's why it's really appealing to us. So we've worked with, I can't remember who it was now, Clean Water in North Carolina, Mandy. And they are very supportive of us fixing the outfalls, basically converting the outfalls to what we have on Atlantic Avenue. But it's just a very expensive project. And there's at least, we believe there's five of them that we have land around beach accesses that we could convert. The one down by Ocean Dunes, the one between, the one by F Avenue. And so we think we have the land. We just don't have the funding. And so if we did, we believe Clean Water Act North Carolina would participate as well. So we think we'd get some other help. That's why it's worthwhile pursuing if we think we have a shot and if it's not too much money. Because if we don't get it, we just, that money went away, right? That's the issue.
But I do think that once LDSI digs a little deeper into it and looks at it, I think they'll honestly tell us, yeah, you're
paying,
you don't have a shot.
That's right. That's what we're waiting on.
They would not be upfront with us on that.
We just, if there's work to done, I want a council aware that we may be polling you for funding for this if it looks like we have a decent shot. We didn't think we'd get invited to apply when we put the letter and the 10 in. But I think a lot of people got sidetracked with COVID and there were less applications than they were expecting. But that might be good for us, so that's where we are.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you, Andy.
Building inspections.
John, you're up.
I have no updates.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Finance department? I guess we had the update.
Is Arlen in there?
He's on the calculator here.
No updates.
No updates. For the folks listening in, it's just that we have individuals that are outside of the room to maintain our social distance. Fire department?
I just have two quick things. One, I don't know if the council saw that updated the monthly report. I plan to continue to do that so that way it's not just the emergency activities that you see, but kind of the inner workings of what we're working on as far as a project, or just to be a little more transparent to you and the public. And then lastly, we had planned to host a gathering on Thursday for one of our members, which we were going to have roughly 25 people show up and participate. It's going to be in the bays with the doors open. Of course, we were going to practice social distancing and that thing. The governor changed, of course, you know, the governor changed the limit to indoor gatherings of 10. So I kind of wanted to discuss or get a consensus from council. There is, and they're frequently asked questions, there's an exclusion. It's their second one down, basically says which gatherings or other events are not subject to the 10-person indoor mass gathering limit. And then the second one down is gatherings for work. So kind of wanted to openly discuss that with you, to see if it was okay to move forward, or if not, we could discuss that as well.
Is there a new date planned, or?
No, still Thursday.
Thursday?
This Thursday at 6:30 p.m. What we were going to do, like I said, it was going to be roughly 25 people out in the bays. You're going to have tables spread out. The bays can hold 60 people currently, based off of the limits that were imposed originally. We're going to open the doors. We have fans in there. We're going to have fans going, and then have like appetizers served from Jack Michaels. And it was going to be served, so people weren't picking through the same plate. And of course, recognize the member for their years of service, roughly an hour long courses. The new 10-person limit, there's some gray areas. So being a fire department out on the main drag, we want to make sure that we're following what we're supposed to do. So just kind of want a consensus from council on your feelings on it.
Any opinions, council?
Well, I'm supportive. I mean, so it would be like at the restaurant, there'd be separations. But, you know, I think the chief has done the right thing. Council needs to decide, because people will ride by and see it. It is a town space, and with the bays open, you can't get more visible than the fire department bays on K Avenue. So it council needs to be supportive or not, and then we need to be willing to stand to it if we get caught. That's why I came to you guys, because that's the issue.
How many people you plan to have?
25.
20? 25.
25? Not including the, I think, 3 people that would help serve and set up.
Okay. Other opinions?
I don't have a problem.
I don't have a problem.
John?
Well, it's going to change on the 3rd of December. We wouldn't have to move it potentially, but 2 weeks to...
If things are going better on the 3rd of December.
I'm sorry?
If things are going better on the 3rd of December. I'm okay either way, right? I think that's why council needs to discuss it, because we got to know, right?
I mean, it's right out there, and people drive by, and is it going to be in the Gazette the next morning with a big picture, and Good Beach is not following the rules?
Yeah, and as a note, I agree with Dave. I'm okay either way as well. It is an event that can be moved, you know, especially if it's a week or so. Just want to make sure that we're all on the same page, of course. I guess the only thing I will add is that the people that will be there already work together at the fire department on a normal basis and see each other on a routine basis anyways currently. So it won't be...
It's just firemen, right? Anybody else, their family, friends?
It'll be a few of their wives that come as well.
Does your friend Bob include these 5?
Well, includes one of them.
Just Commissioner Hager at this time, I believe.
So
I would think the momentous of the occasion that all of us would want to attend. I certainly want to attend.
Okay, so then it's 28.
Okay, I think everybody's kind of expressed an opinion.
29.
Appearances are important, but what's important is what we do. So we're going to honor an individual for selfless service. And we're going to do it with the doors wide open, air pulsing through the station. And you're going to keep it at 25. I don't think it would be a problem. I would hate to have us go to the 3rd and have everything shut down. So in an outdoor type capacity, I guess I would be okay with this. So where are you?
I mean.
Well, you said you'd go either way, so just where do you want to go?
I mean, I think the issue for me, I mean, obviously I'm a fireman, so I got to set that to the side for a second. But the Ed's point that really works for me is 2-1. That space with fans is an outdoor space. I mean, you have enough airflow through there. So the real issue of spread is like being at the park almost, because there's enough airflow through there. That's one. And then the second issue is these people are all working together at 3 in the morning right beside each other, potentially on fires. Had the medical call. There were seven of us. The fire department guys are interacting just like the police department guys. It's almost like a family thing to me. You know, our shifts are not split like across big departments like Wilmington. Every fireman is interacting with every other fireman on calls all the time. So for me, that's sort of why I'm supportive of doing it. And then if Willard hadn't picked it up yet, right, from this conversation when he listens to it tonight, I think if some citizen questions it, we just all need to be able to explain it. And those are the two issues for me right there. It's like an outside space, and it's a department just like if Public Works got all their guys together. They're all interfacing all the time, just like if the police department did, because it's a department function. So I'm supportive of it.
Chief, will you do the temperature checks and that type of thing when they get there?
Yes, sir. Every time you go to the station, every call.
Okay, so Joseph?
Oh, I'm supportive.
Supportive. How about you, Alan?
Yeah, I'm supportive of it. I just wonder if you could try to maybe, if you're going to seat people in groups, you seat them by shifts where they're not really interacting a lot with. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
I mean, just thinking outside the box, what you might be able to do to make it a safer event.
Yeah, we'll have masks there as well. I think all the wives are going to wear masks anyways, knowing the ones that are coming, most of them. Of course, we do temperature checks, anyone with symptoms. I send out emails regularly on them, mm-hmm. make sure they do have symptoms, they stay away. Well, so.
You'll have to take them off to eat, but...
Right.
So,
that's no different going to a restaurant.
Right. So, John, you okay?
Yeah. You want a motion?
I don't know that we need a motion.
I don't think we need to vote on it. I think he's asking us for our... I think we have concession.
Consensus.
Excuse me.
Man, works tonight, man.
Yeah,
good
I
deal.
Am.
Thank
it's
you,
a big deal tonight.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. Okay, police chief.
Nothing, sir.
All right. Public Works, Jimmy.
I have no updates.
Okay. You could call in and say that, guys. Recreation Department. Nikki.
Good evening. So tonight we received that special event permit application from Island Men regarding the Christmas golf cart rally. They have received event insurance coverage. They got a donation for that, so they would like to proceed with the event. There is a proposed change of date, though, on the application and the information you received. It was Sunday, December 6th, but they now would like to do Saturday, December 12th, with a rain date of the 13th.
Okay, so they are going to purchase the protection?
They got it donated by a sponsor, Pleasure Island Insurance.
Okay. Okay, I think it's an interesting event. If they can get the the support, because we cannot purchase it for them. Otherwise, how could we tell other people that they have to get it, right? So we just can't do that. But it sounds exciting. You guys all aware of it? I think it'll be fun, and it's all going to be street-worthy vehicles.
Correct. So, we're not asking for any exclusions to our
Vanilla Creek Beach residents. So.
Correct.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting. Nice.
So I saw your note. You said the department heads were aware, but did they have an opinion either way?
That initially they hadn't come up with any concerns, and the police and fire were both willing to assist with it. That new route just came in today, and we haven't had a chance to have in-depth conversations with them. That's Vic.
Yeah, I think someone just came off mute.
Vic is on the line. He's representing Island Men. So I think
okay.
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay.
Okay, Wicked. So The insurance is going to be covered.
Correct.
And we're supportive of the event. That's what I believe I'm hearing from the rest of council.
I am. If the departments don't have any concerns,
department heads are okay.
So that's about an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have a nice party. A nice parade, not a party, parade.
Town hall parking lot is the starting point, and mm-hmm. Through the route, which would take about an hour, and then back.
Okay. And now we'll continue to work with you for spacing and. Okay.
Correct. And getting the advertisement together. And,
okay. All right. So, but I mean, when we're out here in the park, who's going to manage the spacing? And because they did say they'd be 6 feet apart and all that
correct.
Stuff.
That would be on Island End to ensure that they were.
Okay. Very good.
Unless you would like a staff person on site to oversee that, we can.
Okay.
Do that.
It'll be a nice parade for the town, for the kids.
Yeah.
So.
I make a motion we approve.
Rick, you have something to say? Go ahead.
All right, didn't mean to interrupt, but just to allay your fears, you know, we've got probably 6 to 8 people that will be working during the staging prior to the, we're not calling it a parade, we're calling it an extravaganza. We'll keep people separated. Of course, the parks are about that length anyway, so they'll be separated naturally, especially if they stay in their cars.
Okay. All right. So, do you have a motion?
Make a motion that we approve the extravaganza on December the 12th for the rain date of December the 13th. And let Nikki to continue to work with Island Men on this request.
But
I said extravaganza.
A second time.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right.
They did request to waive the special event fees as well. I don't know if we.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh. Okay. What's the fee?
I'll make a motion we waive the special event fee for the event.
How much is it?
For an event like this, like if it was an outside organization, there's the general use impact fee, the personnel, which would be fire and police, and facility use, which would be the town hall land use. So, I mean, it could be $500 to $700.
I'll second Alan's motion.
What's that?
I'll second Alan's motion to waive the fee.
Yeah, I think. Look, I mean, this is going to be Curry Beach citizens for Curry Beach. So I don't have a problem.
So I'll second
right,
Alan's
it's Curry
motion.
Beach event.
So I'll second Alan's motion.
Vote.
You got to say vote.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry. So let's all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There you go.
Thank you.
Nice job, Nikki.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Island Men.
Thank you.
Moving into old business. Continued discussion on garbage at rental properties throughout the town. Okay. Last month we had 24 violations. This month we had 19 violations. A lot of the violations were garbage cans out on Friday for Monday pickups, and then Monday pickup garbage cans still out on the driveways on Wednesday. The process we have in date today is what, John? Three violations and then a fine.
Basically, we place a sticker on the trash receptacle that says violation and what it's in violation of, and we put a phone number on there also. The second go around, they get a letter, and the third go around, it's a $50 citation.
Well, I don't see any particular reason to change that, at least for now. We may want to talk about it when we go to, when we think about next year and next year's items. But any what's your opinion of council? We really do need to have people pay attention to cleaning that up. As we get northeasters, these things are going to be flying all over the place.
Yeah, so, I mean, I totally agree with you, Mr. Mayor. Public Works tries to pick that stuff up. It ends up in the stormwater system. It ends up in other people's yards. People need to be tidy with their trash cans. And if they need a second can, we have a policy for that. I have a second can in my house, so I understand that. And then for the people that are not in town, you have to make friends with your neighbor or pay a rental agency to take care of this requirement. It's not an odorous requirement, and it's a requirement that the citizens, I think, fully support, at least the ones that I've talked to about it. In fact, typically I'm getting complained about for cans being left out versus for the town trying to enforce their policy. So I'm certainly supportive of this, and when we get into the planning phase and the budget retreat, I'd like us to talk to more about this, if there's other things we can do for the upcoming future year, whether it's communication with the rental companies and rental property owners, or even more than what we do now. So I'm more for making it tidier, not less tidy, personally.
I agree 100%.
Any other comments from commissioners? We'll just continue to follow our process, John.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks for your help, John.
Yes, thanks. Speed limit.
I got that. Thank you.
Jim, what would you like up first?
The
repeal?
Yes, we'll do the text amendment. But one thing I want to say before I forget it, routinely in contracts and in ordinance language.
Wait, I'll make a motion after this one.
Routinely in ordinance language and contracts, those have been drafted to require the applicant or whatever to deliver a certificate of insurance. So you know that you're insured, but, and I've only run into problems with it twice out of hundreds of them, the language also specifies that the town needs to be named as an additional insured, not just as a certificate holder, which is meaningless, but as a named additional insured. Sometimes it increases the premium, but if you don't have an indemnification obligation, it's your best protection if something goes wrong, because you'll be pulled in if something comes wrong.
That's a good point.
We are additional insurance.
Okay, that's a good point. Counselor, I have one other question. If I need a 5-minute recess, do I need to stop the meeting?
Make a motion for a 5-minute recess.
All in favor?
Well, someone else got a second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
There
you go.
Okay. So we need to
a motion.
Come back. Any motion?
Yeah. You are no longer muted.
Make a motion to return to the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you, Mayor. This next agenda item is the speed limit issue. A couple of months ago, I think you all approved I might get my streets mixed up. You want to go from Alabama to H as 25, but currently it's Alabama to N as 35 and then 25.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Second point, 421 Fort Fisher Boulevard is a state highway, so there's a little procedure you have to follow. One is a study that Mandy took care of that. We got a concurrence with the recommendation to change it to 25. You also have to, we'll get into this in a second, repeal and declare the old and the new speed limits. And then for it to become effective, DOT, during one of its agenda meetings, will have on the agenda to adopt concurring ordinances repealing and declaring.
Okay.
So that's the point that we're at tonight. There's one little wrinkle in this particular instance, because you do not have to adopt an ordinance repealing the 35, because
The 35 is established by general statute, mm-hmm. so DOT will take care of that on their end. There's another little wrinkle. DOT wants you to repeal the existing 25 from N to H and then adopt a new 25 from Alabama to H, whereas what a different approach would have simply been to extend the current 25 back up to Alabama, but we're going to do it the way they want to do it.
Well, thank you for explaining it, because when I read that, I was a little confused as to why.
Well, we were too. We thought it was a typo.
Yeah, right.
On their part. And we figured that out. Staff's worked pretty hard. Staff also taught me that, back to the 35 issue, that there's actually a code provision for that, so we're going to address that tonight as well. But the bottom line is, up on your screen right now, is the repealing of 25 from N to H. The next ordinance is declaring the 25 from Alabama to H. And these ordinances need to be adopted, if that's still the will of council. And you'll notice, are there municipal certifications attached to them, page 2? There'll be a certification that staff will fill out, send to DOT, and then DOT will set on its agenda concurring ordinances. The if you look at section 4, all these changes will become effective when DOT adopts a concurring ordinance and signs are erected giving notice of the authorized speed limits. Candidly, I don't know who takes care of the signs, DOT or you all, but that's...
I think it's DOT on that main.
But that's so. Staff can figure all that out.
I'm ready to reach out to the work.
And then finally, Mandy, if you would go to the text amendment. And you can go right to the change. There you go. That's the current provision of 35 from Alabama to N. And the, of course, the text amendment will simply delete that. Mm-hmm. So are there any questions? And if not, you can simply, I would request that you do a separate motion for each order.
For each one.
Okay.
All right.
Any questions?
No, sir.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance repealing existing 25 miles per hour as presented.
From N to H.
From N to H Avenue as presented.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, passes. Next.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance enacting a 25 mile per hour speed limit from Alabama Avenue to H Avenue on Fort Fisher Boulevard as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Passes.
Then I make a motion to modify ordinance 10.06.020 speed limits in Curie Beach as presented to eliminate B3.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Passes.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank
sir.
You. Okay. Okay, new business, discussion of reentry decal. Arlen, could you fill us in on this? Are there any changes to the decal process we want to use this year?
I think the only thing we've been discussing is not including the decals with the water and sewer bill. So we have to dispense separate mailings. It was useful the first two times, you know, so that people are aware that they got the decals, but I think at this point we can go forward with a different process.
So the plan would be two separate mailings?
Correct. We right. send out the water and sewer bill, the postcard bills as we do
mm-hmm.
that.
They got cheaper.
Yeah, we would definitely save a fairly significant amount of money.
Would you put anything on the outside of the envelope saying decals enclosed?
It has a stamp that says decals enclosed. Or have a stamp or something.
I mean, I think important, everybody used to get them that way now, so.
Important information or something like that.
Yeah, not decals enclosed because we didn't want them people to steal the decals out of it. But it says important. I can't remember exactly.
Because that's the one that had all the hurricane information and other stuff, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so how many people did you get that I threw it away, and how many of those did you guys get?
I mean, we had some. It wasn't a significant amount. And the first year it was helpful because we could tell people, well, did you get your January water sewer bill? And they, you know, yes, I did. Okay, well, the decals. But it's really been a minimal number of those at this point, and it's it actually turned into a excessive amount of manpower or person power to actually get all the water bills into the correct envelope. It was definitely not a smooth process. So I think we not only saved the cost of the mailing, but also a lot of labor costs. So,
I mean, I'm okay with that. In particular, even if we did do something relative to parking, you still would have to come in and demonstrate your address, right?
Yeah,
so that would be a different process altogether.
Right. I think with parking we were talking about, it would be a different type of, you know, sticker, decal, whatever may be used. So, you know, what we do now is solely for
re-entry.
That mandatory.
And it's still two per resident, and then if you need more, you pay for it.
Correct.
Right. Because of the staff.
And that part won't change, and we would continue to sell them through July 31st if somebody needed it, but sales and stuff.
I'm okay with that process. Any other commissioner have a point on that?
No.
I support it. Whatever Arlen thinks.
Then what I would say is, when we know what the detail is on the process, let me know, and we should send out a note so people know.
Right. Yeah. Communication's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you. All right. Rescheduling December Town Council meeting. Gentlemen, you want to meet on the 16th?
It's Wednesday.
No.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. It needs to be a Monday or a Friday with my travel for December for sure.
I'm sorry, it was the 21st. 21st was the, I don't think anybody wants to meet on the 21st. That's Christmas week.
Right.
So would you like to move it to the 14th?
14th works.
I think that's fine with me.
Yeah. Me too.
14th work for you, John?
Yes.
Make a motion we move the December regular scheduled town council meeting to 6 p.m. on December the 14th.
Second.
Monday, December 14th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
And that automatically sets the emergency meeting to the 14th.
At 5:30. Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay, I don't have any updates beyond what we've already discussed. Commissioners, how about you, Alan?
I've got something on that shoreline map.
Yes, sir.
To go real quick, let me share my screen. At this month's Ports and Waterways Commission meeting, this report was given by the Moffitt and Nickel. I didn't get the information in time to get it in the agenda packet, but I'll ask Beth if she'll send it out to everybody in the morning. But I'm just going to go through and just hit the highlights. There's a lot of technical data. This report took about an hour and a half for them to go through with all the areas. But let's just, as you can see, they used a survey boat, and then they used a four-wheeler going up down the beach. In some places, they did them every 5 feet, in some places every 10 feet. I'm going to go down to where the, and just give you the Curie Beach findings. Pardon me, this is in a PDF.
Yep.
And I'll get to it just a second.
Just what, I think, oh yeah.
That's Carolina Beach, huh?
I'm Carolina Beach.
Getting there.
Okay, Curie Beach.
As you'll see on this map, the top is where they were, the transects that they, where they did the surveys from. This is a, by the way, this is an annual event. The volume changes, Kubik North and South experienced volume losses, and the, we placed in our jurisdiction about 625,502 cubic yards. The Central experienced some volume gains during the transport or the shifting of the sand down south. So that's part of the reason that part of the beach really doesn't get sand whenever we do a renourishment or reduction project.
So the way to read that then, Alan, is that, would you go back to the graph, please? Yeah. Is that the high parts of the graph are maximum losses,
right,
and the low parts are minimal losses?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the overall volume loss were equivalent to 43% of the placement, but that's less than we experienced after the first year post-construction in 2016. Overall, the losses were higher than the back, than the background erosion rate, which is expected due to equilibration of the 2019 project. You'll see that it's got a lot of numbers in there about the offshore bar, and they do went into a lot of the science of how that bar works to help us in saving our sand, and a lot of that sand will actually work its way back up on the beach with changes of the ocean action and everything. So we had some, we had the one storm and we did have some losses, but it wasn't as bad as it has been in previous years. So this is just a very high level view of this, and there's a lot of technical data in there, and I'm sure Layton would love to come down and talk to us about it if we had questions, but overall we really came out pretty good.
Yeah, if as I read through this, it looked to me like the pier had the least loss, the central part of town,
mm-hmm,
and the most loss, of course, was down south.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's
the
pretty
way
typical.
It goes every time, so
yeah, that's pretty typical. And I know many people are at the pier always say, geez, are they going to give us sand? And here's a good example that they actually did not have much loss.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's
anything
all
else?
Sir.
Any questions?
And Mandy, that's going to be posted in the minutes afterwards.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Beth. I'll apologize, Beth. Right. Okay. Because some people might be really interested in it.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Allen. How about you, Joseph?
Yes.
All right. John, Commissioner Allen, you have anything you want to?
I have no.
Any items? No. How about you, Mayor Pro Tem?
So just behind Settlers, I know Matsu's, y'all walked, which was good, and they sound like they're more in favor of a pipe. We have a quote to do the survey in. Do we want to execute that or not?
Yes.
So how do we coordinate with Matsu to do that happen, and will council approve executing that, which I should have brought it so we could actually look at it again, but we can get it sent out by Mandy so you can look at the quote from LDSI about the surveying for behind Settlers. And the attorney's putting his hand up, is it too much over the amount?
But it's a lot more than sort of survey, isn't it?
I can't remember. I thought about it, and we should have probably put it on the agenda, but we need to talk about it so we can move forward now that Matsu's sent us an email or in discussion said they're supportive, which it seems like a little bit of a change. Good job, Joe, by the way.
Cool, thank you.
I'm not entirely familiar with this agenda item, and we may have done something that I may be redundant, or what I'm going to say may not even apply. But I will tell you this, when you contract for engineering services,
mm-hmm,
you have to do so through an RFP process, unless you exempt that contract under a statute called Minnie Brooks. So I don't know, and you can exempt it if it's less than 50, and the exemption's no big deal. You just rubber stamp an exemption. So that is a statutory procurement requirement. I don't know if it's been adhered to or whether the exemption is applicable. That's all I think.
Then can I work with the attorney to find out if we could do this or if we need to do an RFP and then bring it up at the next meeting? Is that, because, well, what guidance did Matsu give you on getting permission to do surveying?
They gave us none.
Okay, so we still
provide the data. And
well, we can't provide the data without going on their property and surveying.
Right. Oh, no, they said that that's fine.
Okay.
So, but I can let them know.
Can you ask them what the process is, yes, and then I can work with the attorney and we can bring it up at the December 14th meeting?
And maybe I misunderstood. I thought you had a surveying proposal.
We have a quote for work.
It was $47,000, right?
It's under 50.
That's a lot of...
Right, there's a lot of other things, so we could break it up to just the surveying part.
Have we paid out the
survey? Yeah, that's, if you can carve that out, that would take care of a lot of...
So, can I get counsel's permission to work with the attorney and bring this back up at the December 14th meeting? And can Joe work out with Matsu what we have to do so we can, once we approve it, so we can get out there and do the work? Okay. That's what I'm asking.
Well, let's have a motion, and we can support that.
To make a motion for approval from council to work with the attorney on surveying for the project we consider behind Settlers Land on the Matsu land.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
If I could jump, I'm sorry, did y'all vote?
Yes, we did.
Mandy, could you send me that proposal?
Yeah, that'll be part of work. We'll get it to you.
Let me look at it, and then I'll follow up.
Yes, sir.
Mandy, can you send that to me again, too?
And is that an engineering firm that we're dealing with?
Yes.
They are, yes.
Then I think we can do the whole kit-kaboodle through the exemption, because that statute applies to not only surveying, but engineering.
Yes.
We'll take care of it.
I'll schedule a call with you next week,
okay,
Jim, so we can move forward. And then... we just need to find out what the process is so we don't get in trouble being back there from that. That's all I have, sir.
Okay. All right. So I need a motion to go into closed session.
Make a motion to go into closed.
Did you make a motion and I seconded it to get permission to...
I think we all voted on that. We voted on that one.
I didn't hear him say who was in favor.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Make a motion to go into closed session per North Carolina General Statute 143-318-11A3 for attorney-client privilege.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.